Hey everybody, it's Talking Jake here, and I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, executives, Maria Sharapova, Strahan, Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into those worlds of sports, media, and entertainment. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today is September 13th. The Yankees head up to Boston for a two-game set against the Red Sox, and we start to see winning baseball undefeated from here on out. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to episode number 798 of Talking Yanks, brought to you by SeatGeek. My name's Jimmy. His name is Jake. BBD in the corner producing. And we are going to talk some Yankees today, Jake. That's what we're going to do. But let me ask you one question. Have you had lunch yet?
No.
Would you like to have Bear Burger with me?
Yes.
Because they're a sponsor of the episode. I'm hungry. I'm reading their ad copy. Bear Burger delivers to the office. Joe's loves Bear Burger. He might be in on it. I might ask Sam to order us some Bear Burger for lunch. They're a burger joint, but not the type to be bogged down by labels. Their menu's filled with options for everyone, regardless of your preference. So whether you're 100% vegan, Jake, or you're craving one of the elk burgers, I think Joe's really liked the elk burger, right?
I like elk.
You like it? They won't judge you. At Bear Burger, there's only one restriction you'll be limited to: food that's made to taste great. Something for everyone. I'm going to pull up their menu and we'll slack. I'm going to slack Sam in order. I am hungry. Just to let you know. You guys can also go to Bear Burger and you can also get the lunch special 12 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Choice of select sandwich served with fries for $15. Looking to feed the whole family? They got a $49.95 family special as well at bearburger.com. Man, they got a happy hour, it looks like. $1 PBRs, $5 mules, $5 martinis. Available 7 full hours every Monday through... That's crazy. 7 full hours every Monday through Friday. If we were young... There's another burger place around us in college that had something like this, and we took full advantage of it. Head to order.bearburger.com. Get yourself some food. I'm going to bring it up. You tell everyone how you're doing as I bring it up.
James, Davis, everyone joining us live, everyone joining us, not live, after death. I'm doing all right, Off day yesterday, the Monday off days, and an off day coming up Thursday, so it's going to feel like a little bit of a funky week.
Weird week. Me and BB were talking about that. Weird week.
A little bit of a funky week. I've seen a lot of teams doing that. I think it's because there weren't a lot of rainouts this year. You know,
got them handled.
That's why
early.
They've got these extra days late in the year that are
because if they had a rain out with a division rival, it'd be very easy to fill it in.
Be a
here.
Red Sox game.
I think they try to pack in like extra off days in September, so you have more days with mutual off days with people.
So
do some makeups.
So yeah, a little bit of funk. But yeah, doing generally well. Our Yankees. I think a week from where we were are looking a lot better, and I think a week from now, I think they're going to be looking a lot better too. So, I'm excited. I'm slightly worried about how this Red Sox series could feel. Like we just said, it's a two-gamer against the Sox in Boston, while we still have our priorities on other things and coming off of kind of like a high momentum series, that this could be a little flat or. It could be the start of, like, the full-blown turnaround. So, interested to see how these two nights look, but a little defensive at the same time, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I was talking to you yesterday about postseason. I'm very excited. The Yankees seemingly, unless there's an epic collapse, won't be in the wild card because I'll be at my sister's wedding for those 3 days. Right. You're also going to a wedding? Yeah. So they wrap up the division, Jake. It's a 5-game set. Last year, we only had one playoff stream because they lost on the wild card.
For the Yankees.
For the Yankees. And I am very excited to have 3 guaranteed
right
streams, losing our mind during the postseason. Maddie and I were just talking, and I was talking about how much fucking crazy lunatic fun we had during those in 2020, which seems so long ago. And him and I rifled off all the things that were born out of it. Pringle Fairbanks, the feed up, the you got to ask to receive, the gross to grind. And I was like, this is 2 years ago. And we were just rifling off like the fun shit that came. And I'm just really excited for that buzz and energy. So we got a ways, a little bit to go.
Superstition game. Out new stuff every inning.
Yeah. But I'm really excited for it. So 2 games in Boston. Do we even know who's pitching for him yet?
Some Ba with the Ba.
Ba with the Ba. Yeah, pregame show. Sarah game, McLaughlin. Postgame show. It's nuts. The chat's trying to order my lunch for me. They said Joe's like the bison burger, but the Korean chicken's good. Oh, shit, ooh. I might get that. Mm. I love that. So I'm excited. Sounds but too. We're going facing Pivetta and
Cole and Nestor, so actually.
Is that what Fangraphs has?
Yes.
Because MLB doesn't do it until they're like locked, so I guess they haven't announced it yet. Cole in Boston is always a watch.
Always something.
Versus Devers. And then Nestor. 2 starts you like to see how they're going. Yeah, I'm excited.
And Thursday off and the next Monday off.
I know. There's just a lot of off days coming up.
Good. Get that pen rested.
Yeah, and get the players more time to come back and more games. Steven Ridings is flying.
Steven Ridings tweeted he's flying somewhere. Could just be a flight.
I love that he's his own beat reporter.
Yeah, he has to be.
No one asks him anything.
Forced his own hand. And yeah,
imagine you're just going on vacation.
The other thing that's interesting is going to be, Rizzo. Rizzo asked BBD before today, I believe his 10-day IL stint would be up today. And they said he was doing baseball activities. If I had to guess, I wouldn't be too surprised to see if he does gets ready with the team tomorrow, but doesn't play, kind of like that Mariners game. And then maybe he's ready to go in Milwaukee. But, yeah, I mean, I think a week from now we're going to be talking about Rizzo and Harrison Bader playing for the Yankees, which that's, Judge, Stanton, Glaber, Donaldson, Andujar, Rizzo, Bader.
Rizzo didn't play 10 days ago. He hasn't played in a while.
It was backdated to the 3rd. Like the Yankees tweet. You can only backdate it 3 days, so they made the decision, I think, on the 6th.
Oh, I didn't know that. You can only backdate it 3 days?
Yeah, I didn't know that until then either. I thought you could go as far back as when they last played.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if that's a new rule, but I read that when they did it.
Because I don't think he's played in September at all.
August 31st was his last appearance. He came in and played that half inning at first base.
Oh, yeah.
If you recall.
I didn't know you could only backdate it 3 days. I wonder if that's new. Or just you don't really see it a lot.
Usually it's if they sit more than 2 days. I think most teams then just do it. But
yeah.
But yeah, it said on the Yankees PR tweet, retro to 9-3. That was 10 days ago.
No Korean chicken on the menu, so I feel like I got got.
Duped. Got a little bit. Bamboozled.
We got sharp stats. And the other topic that I did in the office yesterday is the same topic.
Connected.
I haven't heard what Katie Sharp is giving us, but there's we got one big topic today. I'm excited to get into it. You want to hear the voicemail?
I think so. I think the voicemail is brought to us by Roman.
Ooh.
Roman doesn't come in a jar. Actually, no. I've seen the swipes. They do not come in a jar. They kind of look like condom packaging. Roman swipes are convenient over-the-counter wipes that are clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. Last longer, BBD. They are frequently formulated to reduce overstimulation without elimination of the sensation altogether. I improv that.
I was going to say, they got you rapping?
It was eliminating, and I was like, if you're going to say overstimulation and sensation, you better make it
stimulation.
Elimination of that sensation. Elimination. In my penisation.
Ejaculation.
Remove the disposable swipe from its discreet pocket-sized pack, like I was talking about. Wipe on the most sensitive parts of your penis.
Let my penis... Oh,
those
let,
are their words.
Let the drummer kick,
I think you'd
yo.
Like that.
Let my penis last.
Wipe
yo.
On
let
the most sensitive last, parts of your penis.
What's the most sensitive part of yours?
I was just going to ask sure. you. Show it.
Show it? That's too sensitive. It would get scared.
When used as directed, Roman swipes leave no scent or taste, so there's no transfer to your partner. Hello. All swipes order include free 2-day shipping and arrive in unmarked packaging. Try today for as little as $2.75 per swipe. Try swipes today with a special offer just for our listeners. 20% off your first order at GetRoman.com/yanks. That's GetRoman.com/yanks.
Let's go to the sharp stats, the sharpest stats in the world.
Hey, guys. Queen of Stats here. And as I was listening to the recap episode from this weekend, you guys were wondering about that IKF stat against power pitchers or elite fastballs or whatever you were trying to figure out. Well, the Queen of Stats is here to tell you. So what I think the stat is it's IKF versus fastballs of 95 plus miles per hour. And this is something that you can find on StatCast. So I looked into this, and here are the results. So I looked at all players that had seen at least 200 95-mile-per-hour fastballs this season. That's 211 players. And IKF, he's hitting 333 against those fastballs, which is good for 15th out of those 211 players. But he's also slugging just 372 against those same fastballs, which is good for 124th out of those 211 players. So take what you want with batting average. But the most interesting thing, I think, about IKF, and maybe this is what those what you were alluding to before, is that he actually handles faster fastballs as they get faster, better. So this is, and this is in contrast to the league-wide trends, which show poor performance against faster fastballs. So this is kind of interesting. So against 95, I let you know he had a 333 batting average and a 372 slugging. Against 96 mile per hour or higher fastballs, he's hitting 385 with a 442 slugging compared to the league average of 237 batting average and 366 slugging. When you bump it up again to 97 mile per hour plus fastballs, he's hitting 387 with a 484 slugging. And that's compared to the league average of 230 batting average and 352 slugging. So as the fastballs get faster, he's actually getting better against them, albeit in smaller sample sizes. But just something to think about. And so maybe IKF is going to be that secret weapon against DeGrom in the World Series. All right. Talk to you guys next week.
All right. So IKF against fastballs, and then the whole team against fast fastballs, which a lot of relievers throw, a lot of good starters in the postseason
elite
throw.
Elite fastballs.
Elite fastballs. We were, I was talking about the, and someone sent us the graphic that I think it was MLB TV put out, and like the headline was like, IKF is so clutch. And they said he was had the fourth best batting average versus 96 mile per hour fastballs or above. And I wasn't trying to knock that. I was just saying there's no context here. Like we have no idea. You have no idea what that means. Because batting average against fastballs isn't the way they do it is when he puts a fastball in play, is it a hit or an out? So that's how that number has come to be. Like,
so it doesn't count if he strikes out?
No.
Not at strike three?
Maybe
strike. I think strike three it would.
The way I back searched it to get to 444, it didn't have that. It literally had balls in play, hits. So my point being is these stats get put out, and then they just get regurgitated to death. And I'm like, but no one, there's no context. Like, this doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Off the bat. He's still good against fastballs in some situations and not good. Like Katie said, you know, it goes down to 320. Comparatively, that's not, it was top. Still yeah, good.
The 95 plus mile per hour fastball is 15th overall in batting average.
But batting average is not. Some say batting average is out. That's a bad way to judge.
Okay.
You can swing and miss at a fastball 96 mile per hour. Swing and miss at a fastball 96 mile per hour. A curveball taken for a strike, and that's not included in your batting average.
Okay.
So it's a really bad measure of versus a pitch, because you can get 0 for 2 on the two fastballs you see, put the change up in play, and that doesn't go against your numbers versus fastballs.
Right.
You can take.
You didn't make an out against it.
Because you didn't make an out against it. So batting average, slugging, all those, they're not good context to judge versus a pitch.
Yeah, I guess all you can do is compare it against the rest of the league, right?
You're getting, that's just kind of like comparing that. It's just not a story of you versus a pitch. Like Fangraphs has versus pitch value. That's a much better way to do it.
A story of you against a pitch versus a league.
With two strikes on you, I guess, would be, or you put in play.
Put in play.
You know, if you take strike one, take strike two on fastballs, it's not counting against you.
Right. Because you didn't get out against it or get a hit.
Yeah, which I think is a very big part of an at-bat, is strike one and strike two.
Right.
So I put together a Google sheet full of context about how all the Yankees perform against fastballs 96 mile per hour plus. And then we printed it out, and we had everybody. It was blind. I have the sheet. I can share it with the live viewers right now. Maybe we can put it in the description. Like, I have it so they can view it, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, make sure it's anyone with this can view.
Yeah. And I'll share it with everybody. And I mean, I think there was like 30 people in the office or 20 that did it. So each player is just labeled A, B, C, D, E. And then it was all their numbers against that pitch. So different people in the office had different, put different.
Right.
Value
I mean, it's
it.
A lot of, I'll be honest, there's a lot of stats that even I don't deal with regularly, but it's interesting stuff. It's how different people view different players. There's some Z swing, which is the swing in the zone, chase percentage, ball in play, extra base hit percentage, a little hodgepodge to how you can view a player.
Yes. Because like my point is, the batting average, the OP, that doesn't tell you the full story.
The full story. I think it tells part of the story.
I think it's irrelevant.
I think it's irrelevant. I think there's parts of it that you can take just like any stat. You have to process it your own way. When IKF is making contact with a high level fastball, like even those 97, 98 numbers, and like Katie said, it's also a small sample because you don't see that many pitches or put that many pitches in play. Compared to the rest of the league, he's got a better batting average and a better slugging.
Yes, and that might matter to you. It doesn't matter to me at all.
I like it.
Yeah, because what did you do on strike one and strike two? It's like those pitches don't not exist.
Right.
You know, are you chasing pitches out of the zone? Are you making just weak contact?
Right.
There's a lot else. Some really surprising stuff. The two players that got picked the most as like, so I presented it. All right. It's the seventh, eighth, ninth inning of a close game. And the other team is going to be bringing in flame throwing relievers. Who do you want up? And I think I deleted the results. We printed it out. Do you have the printout?
Yeah, I can go grab it.
It was Judge got picked the most. The 12 out of the 20 something people picked Judge.
I thought he was number two.
They tied.
Tied for one,
unless yours wasn't inputted, but you had him.
I had both of them.
You had both of them, and I think Jolly's wasn't inputted, but he had both of them. So Judge was picked, tied for the most with everyone, and second was Higashioka. Tied for first.
Higgy and Judge were tied using these stats.
Yes, in a blind draw. No one knew who they were choosing. And it's all percentages, so there's the sample size is smaller for Higgy, but it's not, no counting numbers. As guys you would want up, which I never thought Higgy would be in that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting grouping of numbers. Who else? I know IKF and Glaber were probably 3 and 4, something like that.
Glaber, me, Jeremy, and Dre were the only three that chose Glaber's numbers.
Glaber.
So then you, I didn't have yours on here.
Do we have... Do you have which people were each person or whatever? I haven't seen.
Yes. I have it on the sheet.
Because I've deduced some of them from knowing what I had put in there.
The most interesting one to me was Carpenter.
Right.
So yeah. I put the two strike numbers. So with two strikes on him, when Carpenter saw a fastball, 96 miles per hour plus in the zone, he swung at it 100% of the time. It was like 15 for 15.
It's pretty funny. Small sample, but pretty cool.
100. Yeah, and his chase rate was 27. So those were kind of wild numbers. And then he had 3.8 extra base hit percentage. So that was the third highest. Like, he's still swinging with power with two strikes. It adds up. He had a very good eye.
He was better than Judge.
He attacked fastballs.
When Matt Carpenter played this year, he was better than Aaron Judge.
Yeah. IKF got chosen 6 times. I think he was third place.
The third most appeared on
that. And Carpenter was fourth. Stan only got chosen by one person.
Hasn't had a great year.
Especially against fastballs. He's been bad. Yeah. Hicks didn't get chosen at all. No one chose Hicks. Marwin got like a decent amount, which was interesting.
That's surprising.
But I think sample size came in play here, because especially when you start doing elevated fastball and like how much Marwin's played this year. Same with Higster. You know, you end up with a smaller sample size that can cook the books a little bit.
Yeah, but usually sample size is for like counting numbers more. It still matters. But when they have seen them, they've been good. Judge's numbers are really good. But it was interesting to see the percentage of times they put the ball in play. And then what I really liked was the chase. Like, because that's pretty fast. Right. So with so Trevino swings at every fastball if he's got two strikes on him. If he's got two strikes on him, whether it's in the zone or not, if you throw him a 96-plus fastball, he's swinging 80% of the time.
And you see pitchers attack that. And that's what a lot of these stats are supposed to use to help the eye test. You see a lot of pitchers attack Trevino with high fastballs late in the count to try to get him out, because he will swing at that pitch at the shoulder.
He does have the second highest ball in play with two strikes. So he is putting it in play with all those swings. It's just what's the contact rate. But then he does have the second highest hit rate as well. No extra base hits. So he's with two strikes, slapping it.
And again, checks out. Guy doesn't strike out a lot. And mentioned that early on this year when Trevino went in his first slump. Only 52 strikeouts on the year for Trevino.
Someone in the chat just said against high velo, they want Rizzo up. He only got chosen in the blind test in our office 3 times, I believe. His numbers aren't crazy. He does have extra base hits, which is good. And no whiff.
Pop.
Yeah. So, IKF was third with the Higgy surprising 2. If you wanted to cut down the sample size, then IKF would be 2 and Judge would be 1, which is adds up, probably matches it. But yeah, so there's no extra base hits. DJ was really bad. No one chose. I don't think anyone chose DJ.
Yeah.
Just really bad, which I was surprised by. Because he had a really good season for a while. You'd think he'd have more.
You'd think there was enough good banked that even with the recency.
Yeah, and I'm sure this is like what Yankees analytics actually dig deep into. I remember when Prime Glasnow would go. You'd see, it was the first time, it was when you'd see DJ be uncomfortable. He would have to get a little out of his comfort zone for the fastballs that were like 97 up. You'd see that he'd have to get a little jumpy, and you'd see DJ, and as rare as they were, you'd see him take a couple bad swings against a guy like Glasnow, who, by the way, when he was right, is one of the nastiest pitchers in the league, because he can, 97-mile-per-hour fastball and then 80-mile-per-hour drop-off curveball that come from the same plane. So, yeah, it's a little surprising, I guess, because he was, one of the Yankees' best hitters for a while this year. But, yeah, also... in a bad way for a little bit, I guess.
Rizzo's are pretty. I was between Rizzo and Glaber in the blind D and B. Why did you take Glaber?
I'd have to look at it again. I mean, these aren't stats I use a lot to judge ball players, because I think a lot of these you can, if you're watching the team, you kind of get from the eye test. I was looking at hit percentage and extra base hit percentage.
Glaber's up there.
Kind of with between 96 plus mile per hour pitches and with two strikes. That was most of it.
With two strikes.
And I was looking at some average exit velo too. You know, I want, if you're going to hit it with some pop.
Yeah. I was in the launch angle as well. Like, you know, hard, not straight into the ground. Like, who's got -3 launch angle?
That's IKF.
Yeah. Well, that adds up.
I was between
straight into the ground
with my third choice. I was between what we had as I and H, which turned out to be Judge and Higgy. Went Judge because the exit velo was way up and launch angle stuff.
Yeah. Everyone thought Higgy's numbers were Judge's numbers.
Yeah, everyone assumed Jay was Judge.
One thing I really was looking at was with two strikes, the in-the-zone swing, because nothing's more painful than a guy taking a fastball in the zone for strike three in big moments. So when I saw Carpenter has never done that,
right,
100% of the time he's attacking that pitch, I was like, fuck, that's awesome. And the lowest swing, two strikes in the zone, was...
looks like that's Higgy.
That's Higgy. But somehow I liked all his other numbers.
All his other numbers are so good.
Yeah.
There's also... like, I ended up with Donaldson. It's right by Carpenter on the list. I think I was... because I was kind of between the two of them, but Carpenter...
oh, Donaldson didn't get chosen at all, I don't think.
I think three of us picked him.
Okay.
He's on a few. He doesn't chase on the fastball. He swings at a good number of the in zone. Nobody as good as Carpenter. He's 100. He had some good exit velo stuff on those. The launch angle was in the good range. And in general, is hitting extra base hit.
So I
above where Carpenter was at on not two strikes.
I deleted some of the kids, like Lo Castro I had on here originally, like really both Oswaldos I had on here, and Andujar. Andujar just swings like crazy. But the one thing, and Jake, you said they probably use this stuff to judge. Oswaldo Cabrera had really good, in the very small sample size, that's getting decent. He's had a decent amount of at-bats. I don't know how many.
88 plate appearances.
His numbers, I wish I had them. I deleted them when I printed it, of attacking fastballs in the zone and not chasing were really good. So when I was making it, I was like, I wonder if this is kind of, they're seeing something they kind of like to keep running him out there. And that matches the eye test because he gives good at-bats, at least at the very start when he first came up. I don't know if I've noticed it that much of late. He was giving long, like that Oakland series, first couple, he was giving good long at-bats.
Felt like he, you know, you come up, you're a kid, you're figuring it out, you kind of have no idea what's going on. Felt like he got a little swingy because he didn't get off to a hot start, so he's kind of searching for the hit. But it feels like the at-bats have gotten better recently, and you wonder if getting that homer in the books kind of changes his approach at the plate. And at the same time, you know, we talk about this with veteran players. When you're moving all around the field, that's a lot. It's a lot to think about. That he's also dealing with that along the way. So I'm interested to see how he continues. Once you get that first home run and it's over, like you've got your first hit, you got your first home run, you can kind of get back to your approach. Like there's no other boxes you really need to check this year. It's have good at bats. Really interested to see what he looks like because, you know, we've talked about that left field spot as people begin to get healthy and come back, that it's looking like that would be his best opportunity to play, but we'll see. Which, again, would be a new position for him.
Yeah, his overall stats, Z-swing and chase rate, aren't that great. So sure. It must be breaking balls that are really doing him in. Which makes sense, I guess. He's got a off-speed, he's got a 40% whiff rate. changeups. The whole team, is there any, who are they going to be playing in the postseason right now? Or the four options are the...
They would have...
Guardians...
No, it's going to be one of the other three wildcard teams. Because whoever wins
the Central...
They would
have the winner of...
It is going to be the 3-6, and they go on to play Houston. So it's going to be two of the three wildcard teams.
Oh, Tampa Blue Jays?
So Tampa, Toronto, Seattle. Whoever doesn't finish sixth.
Do any of those teams... Those three, I guess, we'll lump them in, have premier changeup pitchers. Because that is what the Yankees don't want to see.
And premier changeup pitching is brought to you by DraftKings. If you're looking to make a little changeup and maybe your Sunday action, DraftKings is the official sports betting partner of the NFL. They gave me, DraftKings loves doing this, they give you some free bets and stuff here and there. They gave me a $10 free bet the other day on the NFL. I said, I'm going to keep my sadness in check, and I put $10 on Seattle to beat the Broncos, because I like the Broncos, and Seattle won, and they got really good odds on that. So my $10 free bet paid off. Also, they're doing, if you put $5 on any football game, you'll get $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code JOHNBOY, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Can you say details? I like when you say it.
Details. No, I hate how they say it. Details. I say details, but right. Music anchors say details. Details. The Yankees are the 11th best hitting team versus changeups this year.
Okay.
According to FanGraphs.
Look at that.
Pitch value, which isn't good.
11th best.
Yeah.
Is that just in the AL?
Top 50%, but you're right. In postseason, you know. No, the whole league. But, I mean, for comparison, shit, dude, they were good at fastballs. They're not anymore, I guess. Top six fastballs, the best team against sliders in the league. They were the best at both at one point. Let's see, cutters. That probably just did them in the other day with Rasmussen. They're bad at cutters. They're negative. But changeups beat Judge. And right. If you're going to go.
And right now he's been the offense for 4 weeks.
So I wonder, Mariners, you're going to see. Well, you won't even see.
And maybe that's a little discussion as we do it into the changeups like we just told you. With the Yankees most likely, say 98% locking up the two seed, and that's 1% good way if they somehow clipped the Astros and got the one seed, or if the Jays or the Rays got hot and had an all-time collapse, that, yeah, we are going to be lined up with, now there's only three teams battling for the wild card. It is the Toronto Blue Jays, it's the Seattle Mariners, and it's the Tampa Bay Rays.
And you're not going to see their ace right away.
Right, because they're going to come out of the wild card series where they'll play two or three games. And, yeah, it's, you know, in the playoff recipe, it's different things you want to put in the bucket. I think if you had to label, if you're someone that just hates travel, the Seattle Mariners, that's as bad a travel as you can get in baseball. That would kind of stink if you have to do that back and forth. And I think the Mariners are really talented. I think of those teams mentioned, they're probably the most balanced offensive and defensively. They've got dudes on offense. They've got dudes pitching, starting, and in the bullpen. Toronto, we know them very well. I mean, they're the Toronto Blue Jays. They have those guys in the lineup you know. Bo Bichette is going mental right now. And obviously, Vladito and any of those guys, if they get hot, they're a problem. With their new guys in the rotation that can get you, Gausman, Manoa, Barrios is there too. And they have bullpen. I don't think they're the guys that scare you as much. They shouldn't scare you as much as the Rays, who the Rays, we know what they're about. They're always going to pitch. It seems like they always play defense, and it seems like they put pressure on you offensively without being scary. So Yeah, I guess as you go along, sound off in the comments on who you'd want the Yankees to play.
I really don't know.
Right? I'm kind of ruling Seattle out. It's going to be their first playoffs in 20-plus years. It's going to be raucous out there, and I don't want to do the flight.
So you don't want to go there?
I'm kind of ruling them out.
Okay.
If I'm being honest, I think right now it's the Rays. But I do put that with the caveat of I want to see how they finish out the season because they Wander Franco just came back. They've been without him. So, like, if they get to that kind of a little more scary Rays, Brandon Lau starts to go, you just never want to mess with the Rays.
Fangraph's starting rotation for the Rays is three guys.
Right. Which, hey.
I don't know, injuries and stuff, but, like.
Postseason.
Who's their postseason starter? Max, right?
McClanahan's coming back.
He is.
Yes, I believe he comes back.
After all the crying and all that?
I believe so, unless I missaw that. And obviously that's a big one.
Yes.
Could return Thursday against Toronto. So, yeah.
That's huge for them.
I mean, McClanahan, Rasmussen, and
obviously. Glasnow's not coming back.
He's out?
They signed him to an extension basically to be like, don't try to come back. Is what they said on the broadcast the other day.
Let's see.
Like, yeah, I saw like, him don't throw... rush yourself. Like, he might, like, make starts at the end, but not be postseason. Is what I believe they said.
September 9th, Glasnow will make another rehab start Tuesday with AAA Durham. So he had one rehab start where he threw 19 pitches. They would probably use him in relief or an opener if they use him this year. Don't look for like a six-inning Tyler Glasnow performance.
Yes. Okay, so I just took all the starting pitchers from the three teams, found out which one throws the most change-ups.
Who you got?
Springs, which I know. He shut the Yankees down a bunch.
Yeah, on the Rays.
On the Rays. 33% he's a change-up guy. Ross Stripling on the Blue Jays. I don't know if he's getting a postseason start, if he's the fourth starter in the DS.
Or maybe he's like their bullpen weapon guy. Yeah. He's actually put together a really nice year.
Yeah, he had a good stretch.
28 games, a 3.03 ERA.
McClanahan.
One of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, he throws 25%. Luis Castillo. So I don't know if that changes anything.
Ooh, I'd rather not see Castillo too.
Well, you might not early. Because he's probably pitching wild card.
But didn't we do the math on that? That if you're an AL team, you could still get your one for the second game or something like that?
Depends.
They wouldn't get game one for sure. But
they would get game two because there's an off day in the right. AL. Well, I think, I mean, I might just be rooting for the series to go three games over a certain team winning or losing.
Yeah.
As long as it goes the distance.
Yeah.
Give me three games where bullpens have to go in both games, in all three games. Give me three close games.
Three bullpen games.
Three bullpen games. Starters are on the six, and it's a close game.
One extra inning game in there,
absolutely,
at least.
Yeah. If that happens, I'm rooting for that over a specific team.
I think I currently lean Tampa, but... as always, with the right to change that as the postseason actually approaches.
Can change quick with them.
Because Toronto's also going to be a rowdy atmosphere, and those kids are pissers. I know they haven't proved it yet, but they want to. And I just think talent-wise, the Rays are just a step below. But they're the Rays. They can also torture you, so not excited about that proposition.
Yeah, we'll see, man. It's going to be exciting. Need this weather to burn off, and then I'm excited. But we're getting a warm September.
Nights have been nice.
Mornings have been nice, too.
Yeah.
But it's you know, getting to 80, 85 every day. And I looked.
This weekend's going to be nice.
Actually, last time I checked up until September 15th. So I haven't checked, like, the next couple days.
I think this weekend will be nice, but then I think you're getting another hot streak next week.
I do the walk to and from work almost every day. Like, every day. And it's definitely, it's hot in the sun. If you're in the shade, you're in a good spot.
I did that the other day. I was like, ooh, it's nice out. I took one step, and I was like, ooh, no.
You got to pick your streets.
Too hot.
Be on the right side of there.
Oh, wow, yeah. The 20, it looks like at least in my town, the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, that next week, going to be high 80s and sunny.
Ooh.
Eat shit. That last stinks, one. Dude.
Last one.
Hopefully. Give me 72 with a breeze.
Oh.
Some years that comes like this time of year.
Right.
This is Indian summer.
Nights only.
For Not you. Really, because it's been like rainy.
Yeah.
It wasn't this all summer, and then we've been rainy since Labor Day. Yeah. Like Labor Day hit, and it was like, let's be a rain festival.
You want to guess the lineup and then get out of here?
Ooh, GTL. I don't know. Who you got?
Donaldson, Stanton should be in it.
Judge has to play Judge has to play every game at this point, right?
Judge has to play every game. He's right. Chasing history. Shaping. Yeah. He's life-changing.
Until he catches it, yeah.
Until he tells Boone, I can use a day.
But I will tell you the other thing. And he's leading off. And we got off days. I do think...
Oh, he's got so many off days.
Do think we are going to see the Yankees try to take advantage of the double off days both ways. So I think we see probably someone we kind of like tonight sit for a double rest, and I think we see someone tomorrow sit who starts today's game for the double rest the next day.
Okay. Well, Judge leading off. Let's do that.
Judge leading off. I love it. Historic.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said this in August that he's probably really going to lead off in September.
If we could have
and he's
nine
let
of
off
them,
kind of a lot this
I would
year,
line him up that this. Way.
He's led off 14 games this year, which is tied for second most leadoff on the team.
Yeah, because it's only so the if last, he leads like, off, week, he's been like the leadoff guy.
Yeah. If he leads off now, he will take it. So let's go Judge lead off, Stan second. I don't love it, but Boone said he likes it.
Yeah, and they put up big runs the past couple days. So.
Only caveat would be if Rizzo's back.
Right.
He might be too. Should we just say Rizzo's not back?
Do
we
I wouldn't assume until he is.
Yeah, okay. So then they've been going Glaber 3 and Donaldson 4.
Yep.
I mean, that's all righties. They're facing Pivetta.
Pivetta.
Didn't they smack him around last time, or am I misremembering?
Pivetta. That rings a bell.
When we were in L.A. Yeah, seven games, earned runs. Yeah. Back-to-back games against Pivetta, 6 earned runs and 7 earned runs.
Judge, Stanton, Torres, Donaldson. And then it gets a little wonky. They went Cabrera, I think mostly just to get the switch hitter, but he also homered last game. And you put up 10 runs.
Same lineup their last two games.
Andujar, IKF, Higgy.
I have IKF getting double rest day 2.
Trevino's back.
Yeah. All right, so I have IKF playing today. I mean, are we just doing the same two? They ran the same lineups back-to-back. Are we just going to – let's just pencil that in and see what we think is going to change. I mean, I think Trevino's going to catch.
Maybe he's 7 IKF.
So
8,
we have Marwin still at first. Are they going to make a switch here at that position?
With who?
Cole's pitching, so it's not like a ground ball game.
With who?
It would be Oswaldo or Andujar. I mean, they'd have to really get funky. I'm just presenting it as a thought.
Right. I don't think so. I think if Rizzo's on the verge of coming back, I don't think.
How about Higgy at first?
I was interested in it.
Hot.
If they had all three catchers, but I don't think they'll do that.
Posada at first.
And with our talk earlier about Oswaldo, he really hasn't bounced around much since the first 6 games where he played a different position every day. Yeah. He's only had one game not in right field since.
Big right field at Fenway,
too. Are they going to put Andujar in left at Fenway?
Definitely.
Has he played there? Be funny. So no Hicks. I don't think so either.
I can't predict that.
Andujar's got...
The only thing is sometimes they use these series,
right.
Off day, game, off day, as complete punt lineups both times. And the Red Sox aren't... They need a win, but the Red Sox aren't a threat anymore.
And I guess the only other thing I'd present to you is, let's say Rizzo was coming back for tomorrow's game. I don't know. No idea. Or even if it's not till the Brewer series, would they burn out? Because they like to use their guys. Would they start a Locastro in big right field at Fenway just because they're going to send him down afterwards? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, my Boston not being a postseason team changes this for me, because if they were a potential postseason team, I'd be like, no, Oswaldo has to play in right field both, because he might be doing that in the postseason, you know, like has to get used to it. But yeah, I'm starting to think we might see some funk, because it's off day, two games against Boston, a non-playoff team off day.
I think seeing a double off day, they start to drool about how can we take advantage
of this. Peraza might take this game in on the bench, but might play at shortstop game two as like a get your feet wet and give IKF the double off day going
into. What if it's a double Peraza series, send him down?
A lot of clapping in the office right now.
Not from that statement.
Not from that statement. No, I don't think they'll do that.
I'm going same lineup.
Trevino. Same lineup, Trevino instead of Higgy. That's my guess as well. Hopefully Donaldson and Stanton hit. That's the two biggest things here. Donaldson's been hitting. He has really good numbers in Fenway.
Right.
So it's a good formula for him to keep going.
Stan's been nuts at Fenway.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones.
What were they clapping about in the office?
Glaber at
Fenway. Episode 2 of the football show.
Nice.
Just finished recording.
How about that?
All right. How about it? Okay. Same lineup day.
I'm just going to get Glaber's career stats at Fenway, and then we could call it.
I think Hicks is going to be in here somewhere.
Okay.
I would guess Hicks gets in one of these games.
Hicks center field judge. Hicks center field judge right. Feels like they might do that.
If they double off day, Stanton on one of these, get Judge a DH day.
Yeah. See that? Don't double off day.
That way you don't have to pull him, though. Like that situation we talked about from last time. If Judge DHs and you blow out,
keep him.
Let him get the at bat without having to pull him.
True.
Glaber, not great historically at Fenway.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Fantastic at San Francisco's Oracle Park. Is this the show we stand up?
No, not this one. Thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate you. We will be back to recap the two-game set in Fenway later on. Go Yanks! Tell them, Grams.
Go Yankees.
Hey, everybody, it's Talkin' Jake here, and I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, executives, Maria Sharapova, Strahan, Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into those worlds of sports, media, and entertainment. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.